This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hope your Monday is going well. Annie is out again today. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Hope that you are at least starting your week well because it got cold all of a sudden. It was almost 90 degrees on Saturday, and here we sit today. I don't even think we're going to make 60. Feels like I'm on the East Coast, which is where I believe we find Fox Business senior correspondent Charlie Gasparino, who's joining us on the phone. Charlie, where do I find you today? You are in New York, aren't you?
Well, today I'm actually in Miami.
So never mind. You're seeing East Coast at warm weather. How is it down in Miami? After the hurricane went through, did Miami see a lot of damage?
No. I mean, you know, they had some flooding, I think, but minor. I was supposed to do three conferences to sell my book. You know, I'm pushing a book right now called Go Woke, Go Broke, The Inside Story of the Radicalization of Corporate America. So I was doing three conferences. It got whittled down to one because
wow.
I could get in. You know, Sunday was fine. The airports were fine. The other two are going to be rescheduled for next week, for next month, sometime mid-month. But, you know, here I am, and it's glorious to be down here.
I'm sure the weather is awfully nice down there today.
Yeah, it's humid because it was raining, you know. So it's but you know, you deal with it. This is quite a town. I mean, I've been coming to Miami. Just a little background on me: I was a reporter, news reporter for the Wall Street Journal for 9 years before I went to Newsweek, when Newsweek was a major news magazine. And then I got into TV. But when I covered a lot of financial crimes, and I came to Miami, I think, the first time in 1995, 96, and it was just like South Beach was just starting to be part of a renaissance, and now it's like another level.
Wow.
What's going on here? I mean, so I'm staying at the W on Brickell right now. Brickell was kind of a backwater. There were some financial firms, a few things. I mean, it was really, you know, it was sleepy. Now this place is packed. This is like New York, you know, almost. Brickell's the main road alongside the bay before you get to the bridge where you cross to Miami Beach. So it's quite a place down here.
Isn't Miami where you go from New York? Like, isn't there some sort of law that says once you get to a certain age in New York, you have to move to Miami?
Yeah, or move to Florida.
Or move to Florida, at least. Exactly. There seems to be a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't know about me, but it's you know, it's getting crowded down here now, and so you know, but you know, listen, you have good government here. I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis knows what he's doing. The place runs pretty well. There's no income tax. You know, listen, they got clobbered by that storm, but you know, they're going to get through it because they have people that know what they're doing. I mean, this is not the situation you had in North Carolina where it looked like the public officials were flat-footed and didn't really know how to respond, and then you know they had to rely on FEMA, which is always a mess. You know, when you have, I mean, FEMA's there, right? But when you have competent people on the ground, which Ron DeSantis and his crew are competent, you know, it makes working with FEMA and the federal government's, you know, much more easy. You know, it just becomes a, you know, a different ball game.
You know, we were having the conversation on Friday that I don't know that I've ever seen a governor do a better job of taking charge of a bad situation more than DeSantis has done. He's really led the way.
He's an amazing operational governor. I mean, the guy is going to be a great CEO and make a lot of money if that's what he wants. He didn't do great as a candidate. I mean, there was a part of him, which if you talk to people that dealt with him, I never did. I've never interviewed him. I mean, people tell me he's a nice guy when they get to know you. But one thing about Trump, right? When you first meet Trump, whether it's the first time or the 10th time, there's a sort of you could see his charisma. You see a connection. He just does this stuff really well. A lot of politicians do that stuff. I mean, Joe Biden, before, he lost his mojo, so to speak, used to be very good as being a retail politician.
Yeah.
Mario Cuomo was good at it. Andrew Cuomo, believe it or not, was good at it. I mean, there's politicians have this thing. You know, Ron DeSantis isn't necessarily good at it, but he's good at, in my view, what really matters. And that's governing and operationally running a state. And he doesn't let anybody push him around either, which is another good thing.
You know, I kind of wonder about that from the standpoint of, you think of Trump as a CEO. You think of DeSantis more as a COO, because he understands operations and how to get the most out of everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's what's good about J.D. Vance. I mean, I don't know how you can't be impressed by him. So far, I mean, he's been very good. I mean, first off, the guy is whip smart, and he gets put in with these aggressive journalists and just eats their lunch every time. I mean, I can't believe they keep interviewing him. they get kicked in the rear end, and then he scores big points. I mean, this thing he did on ABC was pretty remarkable. I mean,
yes,
he hit him with something, and it didn't even take a second for him to go in for the kill. He didn't think twice about it. So J.D. Vance, I mean, the future of the Republican Party is pretty bright between J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis and even Nikki Haley. And, there's a lot of really smart, competent people in this party. And, we'll see what happens with this election. I gather my colleague Brett Baer, because I just read it, is going to interview Kamala Harris, which makes me think that her polling is not very good. I mean, if you're her right now, in your head, you don't push it, right?
Right.
You go, you basically do your speeches, you maybe do another sit down with Oprah or Oprah Lite or Oprah like. Brett Baer is a really good journalist, and there's a reason why she's doing it. My guess is the reason is that she's losing right now. The momentum, we don't see it maybe in the public polling, but she's got private polling. And I can tell you, I know the people that have the Trump private polling, they're telling me that it's he's starting to come on now. So this is interesting. The race, it was fascinating that, she started doing these interviews, softball interviews to introduce herself. And, the public rejected it. This is kind of what happened the last time.
Yeah.
When she started getting known in 2019, that's when she started losing. She had that one sort of decent debate performance against Biden. He felt uncomfortable, hitting back at her when she essentially called him a racist by saying he was for busing or against busing.
Yeah, she was that little girl on that school bus, remember?
Yeah, and very... with her PhD and her father and, biologist mom, the little girl. But, she scored one. Then the public got to know her and were like, ooh. Then because of a lot of reasons, including the intersectionality needs of the Democratic Party, she becomes the vice president. And now she's, and then when Biden couldn't make it, they went for her, and she's now. I bet they're wondering whether it was a good move, whether they could have, lasted Biden. I think with Biden, the whole notion was just to get through those debates with Trump, and no one thought he would implode that badly. If he imploded half as bad, he'd still be in the race, probably.
I agree. We do a live chat poll every day on the show. And it's funny, when you were talking about Kamala, our poll for today is, what has hurt Kamala more, her lack of interviews or her media blitz that she's done, or nothing, she's killing it. And so far, it seems to be pretty well tied between her lack of interviews has hurt her. But to your point, even when she does the softball interviews, like the way she tripped over herself with The View, can you find a more friendly place if you were Kamala Harris to do an interview than The View? And when they lob up something, what would you do different?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Than Joe Biden. And for her to say, nah, nothing. I can't think of anything. Really? You're trying to separate yourself from his bad economic policies and where the country is, and you're going to say nothing? But she does that every time she does an interview.
You know, you just really wonder about her, and she may be just, this might be a thing where she's just intellectually lazy, that she really, I mean, if you think about, you know, her trajectory, I mean, a lot of it was like, you know, she's Willie Brown's girlfriend. He pushes her, you know, inside the California Democratic machine.
Right.
And, she hits a lot of, again, intersectionality. She covers a lot of those bases. So she gets her card stamped in San Francisco. She becomes, you know, again, she's in the machine. And, you know, that Democratic machine in California is very much into, you know, gender-based, almost quotas in terms of who gets what in terms
right.
of offices.
Do you check a box?
She checked those boxes. She became, she wasn't known for anything specifically as San Francisco DA. She wasn't known for anything specifically as California Attorney General. Not, you know, didn't do anything great. And then, you know, she punched her card, she got the shot at being senator. But you don't get the impression along the way she did anything. I mean, she might have been a good at politicking, you know, the sort of process stuff. But, you know, in terms of policy, she just didn't study that stuff. She didn't get into it. And you got to get into it a little bit. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, Bill Clinton was a policy wonk, right? You know, Barack Obama could talk everything, policy and whatever. Yeah,
right.
You don't even have to be that, you know, that sort of plugged in to policy. You know, Dick Cheney, like him or hate him, understood policy, right?
Right.
You don't have to be that. But she's not even close. Like, she has no policy chops. And it comes across when you ask her, what would you do differently? She couldn't figure out a policy difference.
We're talking with Charlie Gasparino, Fox Business senior correspondent. You know, it seems like she can't find a connection with people. To your point, you have the people who are the big policy people, and then you have the people like a Trump, a Clinton, a Reagan, Cuomo's. Like, they ooze that specialness, the it factor,
right.
I guess, for lack of a better term. She doesn't have that. And when you have to have Barack Obama go out and chastise black men for not supporting this first woman of color president, it really kind of tells you of how bad things are on the Kamala Harris train, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a low point for Obama. That, and today I saw something about Indigenous Peoples Day that he's celebrating. I guess he doesn't celebrate Columbus Day. I just think they're flailing right now. I mean, and that Obama statement, you know, and, you know, with the accent, which is not his. I mean, that's not him.
Right.
Barack Obama did not come from the hood. He grew up in Hawaii. He grew up with a white mom, you know, and, you know, white grandparents. And, you know, this guy does not, I mean, he can adopt an accent, but he doesn't, that's not natural to him. It's not natural to Kamala. And, you know, chastising black people, black men in that accent came across to me kind of cheesy and weird.
Well,
you know,
remember that Hillary Clinton thing when she was doing that, and Yeah. I don't mean no ways tired. I was like, what? What are you doing? You're a white woman from New York. What are you doing?
I'd be embarrassed to talk like that. I mean, it's embarrassing.
You know, it's the thing when you start talking about one of the big selling points these days, and I think this is kind of a sad commentary on just the state of where we are as a people, but being authentic is the thing that people are looking for more than anything else these days. And Kamala Harris, number one, it just can't be authentic, because to your earlier point, when she is, people don't like her.
I don't think she ever, I don't know much about her. Maybe that's, you know, a friend of mine is an investment banker who focused on munis over the municipal bond deals in California. So he had to deal with Kamala Harris, because if you're the AG of the state, you know, that you play a role in the selling of state bonds. I think you actually even play a role in, you know, you're selecting the underwriter. So this guy got to know her. And, you know, he said something interesting to me. He goes, don't underestimate her, because, you know, she's got a ruthless streak. But, and this is a huge but, she is not, she just, there's something missing there that, you know, she doesn't have natural charisma, and she doesn't have the policy chops to make up for it. Like, she doesn't immerse, I mean, she's not interested in governing. Like, you get the impression that, you know, I listened to Trump talk economic policy recently. I was in New York at the Economic Club in New York. And, you know, say what you want about Trump. He's crazy. And, you know, his rallies are like out there. Right. But, I mean, he gave this speech where he granularly got into like his economic policy. He was talking about tariffs, how he's going to use them. He was talking about how they're going to take down the corporate tax rate. Why? You know, how certain companies are going to benefit from much lower corporate taxes if you domicile more jobs here. I mean, he got into some of the nitty gritty. You know, it was impressive. I mean, you know, he gets that. You know, I had an interesting conversation with Mark Cuban recently.
Okay.
And I said, you know, why can't you just articulate an economic plan? Well, you're asking too much of her. She didn't know she was getting the job until like a couple months ago. I said, Mark, she was vice president for 4 years. What the hell was she doing? What was she doing? 4 years. I mean, you would think she'd get involved in some stuff, like, you know, it's, you know, when you're vice president, you get access to, you know, great information. People tell you stuff, you know, you got a staff, they brief you. I mean, you can't read up a little bit.
You would think that she's been getting the economic briefings as well. Hey, Charlie, before I let you get out of here, where do you think, 22 days away, where do you think this is going to end up? Do you think Trump's going to pull this out, or do you think we're in for some other October surprise between now and then that could change things?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, what the internal polls, Trump, what I don't understand is why the internal polls are so much different than these public polls, but then they'll tell you that, well, you know, you pay more for the internal polls. Okay, I got that. But, you know, is there really a silent Trump majority out there? If there is, he's won this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is. I think the internal polls are assuming that there are people that won't admit they're voting for Trump.
That seems to have been the point all the way through. I mean, it was true in 16. It was true in 20. You would expect that it's going to be true here.
We'll see. If it is, it's over.
Yeah.
Just based on the trends and where stuff is going and how close it is and on places where she should win, I think then it's done. If not, well, I mean, she can win. I mean, you know, anything's possible. But they are hyper-confident over in Trump land. And they think things are breaking her way. And the one thing that makes me think that they're right is that she's doing this interview with Bret Baier.
Yeah. That definitely is not going to be something that she wanted to do. That's something she feels she is forced to do. It's kind of her Hail Mary pass at this point, it seems like.
It seems like to me, too.
That's Charlie Gasparino. Charlie, the new book is called Go Woke or Go Broke. Can we get that on Amazon, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bookstores, Amazon. I'll even sign it for you if you sell me the money.
What a guy. Hey, have fun down there in Miami. Safe travels. I look forward to seeing you on Fox Business again.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
That is Charlie Gasparino. He's a Fox Business senior correspondent, New York Post columnist. Go woke or go broke is the name of the new book. And we're going to talk a little bit about elections and get into a little local stuff of what's going on. Kurt Barr, who's the director of elections out in St. Charles County, is going to join us. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what does he expect in these next 22 days and how is early voting going so far? Is it catching on a little bit more? We'll find out more when we talk to Kurt. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.